Welcome to Toy Power. This is the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. I'm Trent. Great to have your company today. And we're recording episode 33. So we got a lot of 90s toy bonanzas to get through in today's episode. And we'll be kicking off with our good mate, Davey, is back in the Toy Power room. Welcome, Davey.
Thanks for having me, dudes.
And as always, Ben joins us again.
Great to be here. Excited as always.
Frank is in the room.
Yep, let's
and,
go.
And of course he is, because it's his house.
Yep.
And we've got Darren, the walking toy encyclopedia.
Thank you very much, one and all, for your company.
So, today we're kicking off with a 90s toy bonanza, and what we're going to do, this is our retrospective episode.
Toy line retrospective.
Smooth.
First time.
So what we're doing today is we're going to chat about some 90s toy properties. And these all have some sort of associated media. So whether it be a movie or cartoon. And we want to just sort of look at, I guess, both how the source material may have influenced the toys and vice versa. We've got four lines we want to touch on, but we're happy to go as deep as you guys want. And we've picked a few lines, such as Terminator 2 by Kenner, Last Action Hero, which was a toy line by Mattel, The Old Street Sharks, so that's a 1994 Mattel line, and maybe Super Mario Brothers as well by Ertl. So, kicking it off, anyone got a favorite they want to start off with? Who's got a favorite movie in the room?
Yeah, I do.
The best movie ever made?
On all lists, yep. Is Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
That's fair.
James Cameron, written and direct, and it's a masterpiece of filmmaking and of life itself.
Yeah. Well, it's really quite profound, isn't it, when you sort of think about the robot wars and what it means in today's society.
It's definitely.
Skynet's a real thing, let me tell you.
It's happening.
It's almost more timely now than what it was back in 1991.
He's a visionary. Yeah, and it doesn't feature any CGI tall blue aliens, which is probably a plus.
Always a positive.
So the toys. So we did get a line by Kenner to tie in with the movie. It's one of these things I always find odd is when you decide, it's a pretty violent sort of film, and you sort of, I guess, are targeting action
kids,
figures. Yeah, kids out there with some, sort of toys that I guess you're trying to sort of get them in, and I wonder if that's going to be a success or not.
I think a big part of it with that was back then, summer blockbusters weren't like they are now, where there's about 10 that are all competing. At the time, there was basically tentpole films where it was just one big film was going to dominate that summer, and being Terminator 2, I think the toy companies definitely would have wanted to get a part of that, but also just the marketing itself. Obviously, a few years on following from the Batman film and the marketing that changed the world of that film.
Yeah,
and this basically, I find, with Terminator 2, particularly with the toys and the film, this was a sign of the times. This is what you needed to do. For a blockbuster, you had to have the tie-in merch across the board. And I think it was done pretty well. But like you say, it is an adult film directed straight at kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 90s were known for that. You've got Robots, Cop, Aliens, Predator. You know, that was the thing to go for. And they were hoping that this was going to be the next Turtles or Masters or whatever else, toy line. So.
Yeah. And some pretty cool toys in the end. I mean, I know we sort of shouted out to... On Instagram, a few pics of the Terminator 2 toys, and had a bit of feedback that one of the guys was always bummed that the T-1000 in the police, motorbike outfit never really resembled the actor, and he actually thought it was a Arnold Schwarzenegger dressed up.
At the time when I got that same toy, I thought the same thing, and I used to play for a long time with that figure versus the chest down Terminator one.
Yep.
And it was just because, at no point was Terminator in a... Well, at no point was T-1000 the same size as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, that's right. He's quite a different physique. But some pretty cool features, like, for example, the T-1000 that we talked about had sort of the rockets that would come up over the shoulders. You know, you had the T-1000 that was in the sort of cryogenically frozen state, liquid metal, and he basically can explode.
Yes.
So, yeah, some pretty cool features, you know, Schwarzenegger, things that never happened in the film, obviously, where sort of Schwarzenegger's face turns into, you know, chest and face fold down and turn into guns and he can blow people away. But, you know, pretty cool.
It sold toys.
Yeah.
It was there to sell toys. And it was at a point where kids didn't want just an action figure. They wanted an action figure that did something.
Yeah.
So I think they ticked all the boxes in that way.
Yeah, very good. And some of the vehicles as well. Obviously, his trademark motorcycle gets a Guernsey as one of the vehicles. But then there's some ridiculous car that...
I've got his missile flying convertible.
Yeah, yeah. That just makes no sense.
I missed that. I must have been in the toilet every time that scene was on in the film.
Yep.
Because I was still yet to see it.
Just a cutting room floor.
Yeah. They needed a hunter killer or something from the HK robots from the futuristic war at the start.
I think they went down that line with the Future Wars toy line, which was basically the, all right, kids are still buying Terminator toys. What else do we have property to?
Future Wars. And they did a lot of repaints as well as they went into the other lines. There were, you know, once you get to... John Connor, he appears in the Final Wave, which is based on the 3D version of the film, the release. And that actually is quite nice because they went, you know, from the Terminator 2 John Connor that comes with the motorbike, they did a repaint. So they did sort of all the core characters in that final Terminator 3D movie sort of timeline. And they actually got the John Connor paint apps really a lot more accurate. You know, you sort of got the camo gear on.
And the headband.
Yep, and it's the colouring is a lot more accurate. So, you know, I don't mind that. I've collected that line, and I don't mind the fact that sometimes you're getting repaints in each different sort of wave. It's pretty cool. Very good. We might then head into probably one of the more obscure and divisive toy lines of the 90s, and this is Street Sharks. Street Sharks was promoted by none other than Vin Diesel appearing at Toy Fair. So I don't know if anyone's checked out the YouTube clip of basically it's Vin Diesel selling and saying how good Street Sharks are.
And most of them that have like biting action have turtles in their mouth.
Yeah.
So it's a slap in our face, Frank. It's
how rude.
And
it's probably why I never warmed to it.
Respect your elders, damn it.
Well, it's the troll turtles actually don't fare too well in that clip. They did look, if you're going to pick on a weak turtle.
You cannot push over the man whose coattails you're riding under.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, when you look at the backstory of Street Sharks, okay, you know, there's four of them. They're brothers. And they're hideously mutated into, you know, but Mattel sort of almost went to the extreme with it, you know, that they're really, really large action feature oriented figures, sort of a lot of, you know, biting, chomping motions. They've got that sort of extreme cage breaking
feature. I love that. The packaging was as good as the toy line was, in my opinion. But one thing I found with the Street Sharks property, the whole way across the line, the cartoon and the toys, it was almost like executives sat down like, what do kids like? Oh, they like beach buggies and surfing and rollerblades and stuff and sharks. And it was like every bad idea was like, no, there's no bad ideas. Keep them coming, what else?
We're going to put a shark on rollerblades playing a guitar with purple troll hair.
Hey, this one, do you know what he does? He hustles pool. Kids like that, right?
Yeah, and I think they even teamed up with another Mattel property, which was Extreme Dinosaurs, another very extreme 90s property, and sort of joined, you know, I guess two very extreme properties together. We've got 40 episodes, Street Sharks.
Really?
And it was done by the same animation studio that did Inspector Gadget, that's Dick. So, yeah. I was surprised it went that long. I tried to watch a bit in preparation for this, and it was... Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Pretty rough.
I found it pretty hard to watch.
One thing I found with the cartoon, it was almost like they were deliberately trying to distance their animation style from the Turtles to the point where each scene, like in the original Turtles, whenever there was a fight scene, they'd show a few different angles, mostly from the same side. But with Street Sharks, they were like, here's an overhead view and here's a different angle view, which...
to me, made the sharks never look like they were drawn by the same person, because each different angle, some angles they'd look terrible and lame because it'd just be a big muscly bat with a fin on it. But then side on, you're like, yeah, that's character. Them. Yeah. So
I recognize him, and now I can actually follow what's going on.
Yeah. Ah, that's what's happening in this shark. Yeah.
It's to me, the writers almost had a competition of who could out pun the other one with theme songs and naming of characters, etc. So you know, the theme song features the phrase "they're jawsome." So that's what we get in the opening title song. You get characters like Moby Lick, and it's a anthropomorphic whale with a gigantic tongue. Clearly not a shark, but who's counting? Hey, when you can not come up with a name that's like Moby Lick, all bets are off. And Killamari. So, yeah,
I love a good pun. I love it. It's ridiculous, but I love it.
Action features, some pretty good ones. You know, the old arm slamming action from Big Slamu, and you had Dr. Piranha. He was sort of the main protagonist, the main bad guy. Half scientist, half piranha. So he had the sort of flipping around head action feature. So on one, you know, human face on one side, piranha on the other. As would happen. You also had Blades, I think we talked about as well. He had the rock and the roller blades. So as you do.
He was a tiger shark.
Yep. And what did he have the nails that would...
Yes, the toy would actually... You could press and basically they'd shoot out like a trident.
Yep.
But the show was terrible. I think we're glossing over the fact that it was a terrible show.
Yeah.
The toys were quite robust.
Yeah.
Compared to your regular action figure, they were enormous toys. Like they would fit in your fist of your hand. Like they were pretty big toys. And 80% of it was the mouth and the head. Like and these tiny little legs. So I think the toys were pretty cool in that respect. So something different, something new direction.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Look, and it's interesting when you go sort of online and you're trying to do research and you go, oh, I want to research Masters of the Universe, and you get, you know, 5 billion hits and, you know, pages dedicated to it. You go onto Street Sharks and you get like two websites. One of them's sort of incomplete, just hasn't been built yet.
Under construction, yeah. With a little GIF.
Yeah, so I don't know what that says about the love for Street Sharks.
Dot MySpace.
Pretty much, it is.
That's a work in progress.
Yep. So maybe we're 5 years off the Street Sharks.
Maybe resurgence. You could contact them and finish it.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Well, I think I've researched enough that I'm fairly knowledgeable on it now. That's great. One of the weirdest movie adaptations I think ever made, which was adapting the Super Mario Brothers video game into a movie, and Ertl actually coming along with the corresponding action figure line for that one. Anyone remember that film growing up?
I remember it. I remember it growing up, nostalgically love it, but I've also revisited it enough times lately and looked into the making of the actual film. It is a mastercraft in how not to make a film.
Yep.
But it's still, for the time and place that it was, still love the film.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as the first video game film
adaptation
ever, I mean, it's historical.
And it's a film that kind of sold itself, because we were the Nintendo generation. Here comes a Nintendo film, yeah. So it was pretty exciting.
What I took away from it when I was a kid is you've taken a property that's all fun and games and, very lighthearted, and you've changed it into this really gritty movie. You know, you've put it into such a gritty element into it, and I just lapped that up as a kid. I was like, oh, this is so dark. I love it, you know. And even today, as bad as it is in you know, with my adulthood glasses on and things, I still think it's awesome. I really admire that leap of that they took with it. Unfortunately, because it was deemed so bad, they didn't make other movies like Metroid and things. But it was it was a breaking edge for the video game era.
We still got Double Dragon though.
we did.
We were lucky.
There's a Double Dragon movie.
Wow.
Really?
It's enough to Enough to kill not only Double Dragon as a film franchise, but seem to put the games to an end too.
Well. I don't think Robert Patrick got much more work after that.
This was his big... I think it was his Terminator follow-up. This was going to be his next franchise.
Yeah.
Wow. You've got a great film to watch.
You have. I highly recommend it. Did it go to the cinema?
It did. It had a theatrical release, but it performed.
I mean, Super Mario Bros. Did, but...
Double Dragon did go to the cinemas. It performed so badly, it basically was almost a straight to
Scott
video.
Scott Wolf of Party of Five The V, which was awesome. V was awesome.
He was very cool.
It's the most 90s thing set in the future you'll ever find. Yeah. Somehow the future is the 1990s.
Of course, naturally. All right, I'll give it a
watch. But Super Mario Bros. I love, you know, and, you know, Samantha Mathis as well, I think was just awesome as Daisy. It's got a lot going for it, for all the things it's got that don't work.
You've got your main villain, Dennis Hopper. You're ticking boxes there.
Yeah.
But from the film nerd side of me, looking into it, it's so interesting, such a film, because the directors fought with everyone involved, including the studios, the actors, pretty much from the top to the bottom.
Yep.
The set, the crew, the cast, everybody was fighting with these two directors. And it was basically damage control from about a quarter of the way into filming it. The fact it got made, when you see like what went into happening... the fact it got made is a miracle, and the fact it was something that, you know, someone like Ben can enjoy.
Yeah. Well, it's 10-year-old Ben.
I still enjoy it for what it is myself, you know.
My sons love it. Absolutely love it.
That little animatronic Yoshi is genius.
Yeah.
Like, it still holds up today. I mean, aside from all the bad, you know, everything around it. But as a little dinosaur, he's awesome.
I feel someone that worked on Jurassic Park had to have seen Yoshi and gone, hey, that looks amazing.
There's something in that.
Yeah. We're doing that.
Let's hire that guy.
Yeah. And I love the Back to the Future style ending.
Yes.
I think, you know, it's just a shame we didn't get a follow-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't mean to spoil the 1993 Super Mario Bros.
one of the big, you know, testaments for the film is that... John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins had to be drunk the entire time they were filming it, because it was apparently the most miserable experience either of them had ever.
They broke their leg, they broke their ankle or something, didn't they?
It was just...
Wow. They almost drowned. Yeah.
It's just like a real video game, isn't it, when you go in here? Go off the edge.
Level 4, the water level. Yeah.
They went to get their pay at the end of the shoot and they're like, sorry, your pay's in another car.
You got to save the princess first. But aside from the movie itself, the toys were pretty cool. They had about 5 or 6 figures. And there was an exclusive Goomba that came with one of the playsets.
Yeah, with the more dinosaur head rather than the shrunken head.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
And definitely made to be true to the on-screen likenesses, basically, which is what I like. Like, doesn't look exactly like them, but they were trying.
Well, for that era, I think it's a pretty good resemblance.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, Bob Hoskins that plays Mario. And they don't actually get into those outfits for a while, do they?
Almost like, oh, we forgot.
Yeah.
You need to put these
on. Yeah.
Let's work that in.
Quick. Nintendo are paying us a lot of money. We need to put this outfit on.
And I think one thing I remember as a kid that now I can't stand it, but I loved it as a kid and I don't know why. The fact their last names were Mario. So it was Mario and Luigi Mario were the names of the characters.
Hence why they're the Mario Brothers.
Genius.
Yeah, well, you can't be the Mario Brothers if one of you is Luigi. So
there you go.
That's it. Write yourselves out of that one. Okay, I will.
Let me get drunk first.
But the toy line was awesome. I never got any as a kid, but
Ree actually picked up a few. Ree, being my wife, actually picked up a few at the Mega Toy Fair. She got Luigi, Mario, one of the Goombas, and Bowser. And it came, minus the weapons and things, but Bowser's got his little
military uniform.
It's a material cape, like trench coat. Oh, so the Goomba,
yes, yeah, material.
Which was pretty cool, which was a selling point in itself. And she's got them proudly stacked against right next to her sewing machine. So,
I still have my Mario and Luigi from being a kid. And I know that I bought them at least, mum and dad got them for me at least a year, maybe 2 years after the film, because they were like bottom of the pile bargain.
99 cents.
Yeah, it really was. And I remember being like, not annoyed that I got them, because it was like just a, you know, come home one day, oh, we got you these. And look, it's like, oh, yeah, they're a dollar each.
This was so 1994.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Nah, very cool. All right. We've got one more before we head into, I guess, open mic. And that is...
Drum roll.
Last Action Hero. Yes. So this was actually the follow-up to the Terminator 2 by James Cameron. I guess there was big expectations on the movie, I guess coming off the back of what was, you know, potentially one of the best films of all time. And it was, I guess, a very different take on the action blockbuster. It's sort of that breaking the third wall in a way and opening it up.
I will invite anyone that has anything bad to say about Last Action Hero that hasn't rewatched it since back when it came out, that I will fight them if they it. I genuinely believe in my heart it's a film that was so far ahead of what people expected that they hated it at the time. If you watch it now with all the like wall breaks that happen now and all the self-knowledge and the self-aware stuff that happens, this was doing it, pushing all the like limits at the time. No one was ready for it.
Yep.
So it suffered as a film. Got bad rap. It looks fantastic. The stunts and everything's fantastic. It pokes fun of itself. And one thing I always loved about this was when the when the producers had their idea of what they wanted to make, the director and everything, they wanted to do a satire of a Shane Black film. He's responsible for a lot of films like Lethal Weapon.
Predator.
A lot of films like that. They wanted to do a satire of that kind of action. So that was the start. So a few different writers worked on it. And the producers, a few producers changed. They looked and went, didn't get what it was meant to be. And went, I know who can rewrite this, Shane Black. So before the film got made, it was rewritten by the person that they were trying sending out, basically. Yeah. Which just put it on a whole different level of, is it even self-aware anymore?
Yep.
But I love it. And as I say, if you want to fight me, talk bad about it without reviewing.
And hey, look, I love it too. Just to put it out there, the first time I saw it, it's one of those things I think when repeat value it plays better. Yes. The first time I saw it, it was like, whoa, that wasn't what I expected.
I remember. But I actually remember hating it.
But yeah, you come away from it and you think, oh, I'll give that another go. And yeah, it's just awesome.
Yep. I can't believe you guys didn't like it. I thought it was so cool. I was blown away.
Yeah, I really liked it.
By the fact that, like, here it is, this superstar action hero, and he can't die. And then all of a sudden he comes out of the movie into the real world, and all of a sudden he's getting harmed, and he's like, what's happening to me? That blew me away. Like, I'd never seen anything like that, and I totally understood it, you know, in my adolescence, and I thought it was just amazing.
Yep.
And yeah, so I'm surprised that it didn't do better. I just assumed it was an amazing movie.
It was. And, you know, I didn't hate it the first time I saw it by any stretch of imagination. I just didn't expect it to be what it was. And I guess I sort of pictured a straight up, you know, action shoot 'em up sort of film. And you know, probably in the vein of something like a Lethal Weapon or something, which were, you know, favourites of mine back then, and I still have a soft spot for that series.
I think what killed it was everyone's preconceptions. Nothing to do with the film itself. It's just what everyone wanted. Following up Terminator 2, the next Schwarzenegger blockbuster, going to be massive. You know, the marketing was crazy, had the tie-in toy line. And then it wasn't self-serious like it had been marketed.
Yep.
And everyone's like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And but re-watch it. It's so good.
I reckon it was one of the first times... You know, you had the boy in there pointing things out to Arnie, to Jack, when he's sort of like, you know, what, that girl, this super hot girl is at the video counter? That just doesn't happen. And
when it gets a number, it's 555. Yeah. Like, so what, there's 999 people in town? And Arnold Schwarzenegger goes, that's what area codes are for.
And wasn't Stallone the Terminator?
Stallone was Terminator.
The toy line was pretty cool, and we talked about that, I think, in the episode, Davey, where you were on Toy Power before, that there were some pretty good likenesses for the time. Yes. I think it met your Vintage Toy Awards as the best toy line with the likenesses.
At the time.
Yeah, at the time, which is pretty good. We obviously got a lot of repaints or different versions or variants of Arnie. But Charles Dance, who we all probably know now from Game of Thrones fame as Tywin Lannister, he plays your villain.
Yes.
Evil Eye Benedict. And you've got the Care Undertaker sort of character. He got a figure as well.
Yes,
you've got
the guy that throws axes.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I think he's got some sort of axe throwing feature.
Yeah.
And you've also got the kid. Yeah. So yeah, had a couple of vehicles I think as well.
Did they have the Corvette?
Yeah, they had the Corvette, yes, and then yeah. I think Evil Eye Benedict had some sort of Benedict Evil Eye convertible thing. With headlights.
It's just a magic eyeball, but an eyeball.
Yeah, pretty much.
You shake it, and it comes up with your future.
And a running change, I think, in some of the packaging for Evil Eye Benedict, where the first run had his suitcase closed, and then they must have thought mid-run, that'll look much cooler if we can package that open. So that's sort of one of the variants you can get, the running packaging change. That's it, just the way they display it. So, so that's pretty cool. I think it's a pretty cool sort of toy line. Not huge, sort of 7-8 figures. Couple of mail away exclusives that you could get, which don't go for much, as well, which are just the same versions of the other characters packed together in a 3-pack. But
see, and I feel that probably everyone here on the team, we've probably got a bad exposure to the toys to begin with, because this was at a time when films were released a good few months after they were in the US here in Oz, and basically it was already, word of mouth was killing this film before it even got released in Australia. So I'm sure to some degree that would have hurt the toy line, and they would have gone, oh, we'll halve our order, thanks,
yeah, kind
of
exactly. thing.
Because I don't remember seeing them in a lot of shops, and when you did, it was always Arnie or the kid. Like, I never saw the extended line in any of the toy shops I used to go in, but I think that would have a bit to do with the fact, you know, the studio would have had cold feet by the time it even got released.
Mm.
To the point where they're like, oh, we can't even chase our losses with some toys with this. We've just got to minimise damage.
Do you think that would have been how it played out, or do you think some of the other stuff was just short-packed to...
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean...
I just know, like, that was
a time I can remember the line on the shelves. I can't remember what I saw back then, but I can remember, like Trent said, you know, the likenesses were... And like yourself, you know, the likenesses were something different for the era.
Well, because my biggest point of comparison were the Terminator 2 toys. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's almost a companion line for that. So, same
scale.
Yeah.
And quite often I have bought, like, bundles and stuff online. Yeah, and similar to the way Extreme Dinos are always thrown in with Street Shark.
Yeah. Yep.
There's always, like, a Last Action Hero chucking with Terminator loose.
That is interesting because they are different toy line toy manufacturers. So Mattel and Kenner sort of borrowing a similar aesthetic, I guess.
Very interesting. Right, I just wanted to shout out some other 90s movie toy lines, and I open up to our audience as well to come up with some others that we haven't called out. So first off, I want to call out Robin Hood and Jurassic Park, which we covered in our toy line retrospective in episode number 28. Waterworld, which we covered in 23. Dick Tracy, which we covered in 14. Hook, which we plan to cover in a future episode number 34, so watch out for that one. And also some toy lines that we haven't covered that have a movie tie-in from the 90s. Toy Story, Small Soldiers, Aliens and Predator. So I plan to do them in a future episode. We don't have a locked in time session for that, but watch this space, or listen to this space, I should say. RoboCop, which I think is going to be someone's retrospective very soon. The Spawn film as well, even though they didn't really do quite movie accurate a toy line, there's definitely more than enough Spawn toys out there to call it a movie tie-in. And of course, The Shadow, which I dare say Trent will cover shortly.
And Demolition Man.
I was just going to say Demolition Man from Mattel.
Very well, guys. Yeah. Very good done. Very well done, guys.
Good done, guys.
Yeah. Well done, English.
A line that borrowed some New Adventures of He-Man sculpts.
Yes, definitely.
They didn't even bother to change the head on some of the figures. No. So it's just like, there's Kaio. He looks close enough to the actor in this film. We'll just use that. Can we use Sylvester Stallone as He-Man? Nah, we'll re-sculpt the
His hair's not right.
Yeah, come on.
Part his hair to the left instead of the right.
And they put Flipshot out again, and you know, a whole heap of, yeah.
So if you're listening and we've solely missed a toy line from the 90s, feel free to shout out and let us know.
Very good. All right, we're on to our next segment, which I don't believe has any sort of fancy intros now.
Yeah. We're beta testing the transition music and stuff, so bear with us.
We might have one for the one after this. We thought we'd just have a bit of a chat. I know I've been talking to Davey a little bit and obviously the other guys about, you know, how we go about collecting, how we go about finding purchases and what avenues we use. Is it things like bricks and mortar stores? Is it garage sales? Do we use online? And if we do use online, what are some of the avenues we do use, and what are some of the techniques that we've come up to try and get, you know, good deals when we see them coming up? So we thought we'd just spend, you know, 10-15 minutes talking about how we go about it.
Well, I know one of my favorite that I'll reveal. I buy a lot locally with Gumtree, and my favorite thing to do is to get my phone and my wife's phone. I'll send offensive offers with my wife's number, like, would you take this much for it? And then when that person's angry at that, I'll then send a fair bit higher but still lower from my number and be like, hey, I was just wondering, my kids really want this, would you take this much? And they're like, yeah, here you go. And I love picking up when they go, oh, some other person was offering me so much later. I wasn't even going to sell it after that. Jerks. Yeah. So there's one. There's
That's a great tactic.
You guys might have some positives.
I guess it depends who.
Let's just say I'm learning new tricks every day.
Get in on it, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it depends on who you're buying from. And a lot of, we've got a lot of websites, I guess, here in Australia, such as Gumtree, which are almost like your old trading posts, sort of
Craigslist.
And that's people, I guess, just clearing out their kids' toys. You know, if they can score a couple of bucks for it, that's great.
And another form of eBay, obviously. So obviously, we've all purchased from eBay, but that's not really the topic we're talking about tonight. I do a lot of shopping from Instagram and Facebook. I know that's dicey, and I know that's a little bit risky and things, because a lot of Instagram and Facebook purchases, a lot of the time the seller wants you to pay, send friends and family and friends rather than the goods and services.
Yeah.
So if from my personal experience, if I've never shopped with this person, or I don't know them very well, or they've got something that I want and I'm like, oh, I don't know about this guy, I'll say, yeah, of course, I'll fix you up. And if they say, friends or family, I'm like, look, I'm going to pay goods or services. I'll cover it. $5 or whatever. You know, if it's a $100 item, I don't care. I'll cover that. So you're not out of pocket, but then that's my little one and only little insurance that you're not going to stooge me. And in all honesty, I've never been stooged, bar maybe once or twice or something. And honestly, I find more bargains, and it's more exciting for me because I'll just jump on my phone, have a flick, and I'm not actually looking for something, and it might just pop up and I'll be like, you beauty, PM sent straight away.
I love getting it, and then there being like 10 comments after, it was like, oh, I would have paid way more and stuff. Because that's exactly why I post photos after I get it. Oh, this thing? Yeah, it was pretty cheap.
So I've had some very good circumstances where from Facebook and Instagram, and for me that's a bit more exciting than looking up Dragon Blaster Skeletor on eBay, because you're always going to find
eBay removes the thrill of the chase, and you find it. Yeah. So except
it makes it awkward in your work, and you're trying to, you know, you've got 100 things on your plate, and you're trying to, you're more focused on your chat session with the other person
keeps sending thumbs up. Stop it.
Yeah. So it can be challenging, and also sometimes they might say, because at the moment I'm trying to build my attorney a playset, so they might say, oh, I've got, you know, three parts of the attorney. Yes, please, I'll grab them. Oh, by the way, I haven't listed the other 7 parts of my thing. And all of a sudden, this $100 spend blows out to $300 because they haven't advertised everything. So it can be a bit of a grey area, but 9 times out of 10, it's more exciting for me.
I definitely agree with that. To me, it's like when you hear your favourite song on the radio.
Yep.
That's the same as finding a toy not on eBay or something. It's even random. Bricks and mortar. When you go into like And because of the age of a lot of what we collect, you go into like an antique store or something. They're like, oh, I don't have any toys, but there's a box of old Ninja Turtles no one wants. And you're like, yes, there is.
Thank you.
This is garbage.
I have to tell one story. Sorry.
No, you're right.
So I was at this Christmas market of all things, and we were walking around, and it was just all little market stalls, and I'm like, yeah, cool. And up the back was this little rotary shed. And they were promoting it. And we'd been there for a couple of hours at least. And I'm like, oh, damn, I didn't know this damn, you know, rotary sale thing was, shed was on. And Reece, my wife, said, oh, go on, take, you know, go on, rush off. I'm like, oh, nah, the place has been open for like 3 hours already. There won't be any good toys or anything decent in there, whatever. And she's like, just go. So I had one of my little, my daughters on my back, all of 2.5 years old, because she wouldn't walk. Walk in there, and it's just, you know, shoulder to shoulder people in there. Can't move. And I got stuck at the back of this rotary place, and I hadn't even, and walked past the toys. It's just nothing but McDonald's toys and plush toys. So I got back to the back of the stall, and I'm like, how the hell am I going to get to the front? And I saw this clear way, alleyway of a passage. So I went down this, the plastic ware and things. And lo and behold, on the shelf was a She-Ra sort of coffee flask from the lunchbox thing for a whole $1. I honestly was telling every single person after I purchased it, I was doing cartwheels around the market. I was telling everyone that didn't care that I just bought this. It was so exciting and thrilling for me.
You're walking through picnicking families. Yeah. Like, excuse me, going through with my Shira thing. Yeah. The other way. Sorry.
Have a look at my Shira firmness, everyone. Yeah.
Nice hot cup of cocoa.
It was just such an exhilaration for me, much more than if I'd found it on eBay or if I'd found it online and purchased it. Even if it only cost me $5 online, finding it at that place in the flesh was amazing. So,
can I just ask you one thing about that? How did the cordial from the 1980s keep?
It was a bit stale. So I gave it to my daughter.
Now that's stand-up parenting right there.
Yeah, I've used eBay a lot, and won't touch on that because we've probably all used it, but I do use a little thing called a bid snipe. That just allows me, I don't know, it's probably maybe controversial, but then I don't have to be on and I can that just guy. Load in. Yeah, I'm that guy. I'll come in at the end and try and get it. I figure that's the best way, the best chance you've
whatever
got.
Whatever puts the toy in your hand.
Yeah. So bid snipe is my weapon of choice. Things lately, I guess, I haven't been using eBay a lot, and more about, we've got a group here in South Australia, which is called SA Toy Collectors, and every so often we'll host a get-together, and there's about 70 or 80 members of that group, and we'll get together at someone's place. Everyone brings a table or two, don't have to, you can just browse, and then, you know, put out your toys that you don't want anymore. And we've all found some great scores through that process. The other thing is sometimes, like to Ben's point, when you find someone, often they'll, and you know, you've had a few good dealings with them, and you know, you've given them what they want for something, they might then open it up, hey, you know, here's, we've some had other some good deals stuff, yeah, you can have first crack at this. And I was lucky enough, and I might touch on it a bit in later scores, but I was lucky enough to have Nick sort of open up, you know, basically all his Mint in Box Dino Riders collection to me to have first picks at. And I was saying to Frank before, I needed 12 Mint in Box Dinos to round out my Dino Riders collection, and I managed to get 10 from that first pick. Wow. So, and some really obscure Wave 3 stuff, some Ice Age stuff. So you can be lucky and with that sort of, you know, first in, best dressed. Yeah. And
You were very best dressed in that case. I remember when we caught up to film your thing, you're like, I want the Toxic Crusaders. And then about 3 days later, got him. Thanks, guys.
That's a lot.
They're like, where'd you get them from? Oh, just two suburbs over.
Yeah, just drove around and picked them up. And yeah, you can't look, those sort of things. This is a guy that was selling on behalf of an old school friend, his dad, who'd basically been a toy collector, you know, buying stuff for his kids, but then going, I like the look of that too, and then putting a set aside. So he had complete sets of things and all just minty box, you know, bought it from a shop.
Stuck it in a cupboard.
Stuck it in a cupboard and then 25 years later, out it comes.
Nice. I scored well from him also because he had got a lot of the clearance Ninja Turtle stuff that no one wanted.
Yeah.
Which is more so what I collect than the figures. It's the, you know, here's a Frisbee. It's like, I need that box.
Yeah. I look, as I said, we've all done the eBay thing. That was my... I normally, at the moment, use eBay as a pricing guide. If someone goes, how much is this? And I look at the eBay price, take 20% off of that and go, that's probably a fair price for it. Only just because, it'll, you know, you can find everything you want there. I started doing more on Facebook, and as the others have said, you know, it's people you know, or particularly our toy collecting group. A couple of people, particularly in the Transformers scene, have even started their own. I've been buying from them privately, but they've now started their own website, and so I know the people behind it and stuff, so that gives me confidence to go through them. And in that respect, they're probably not the cheapest. You can get it cheaper from other places, but I go, do you know what? I know the people behind it. I'm supporting local business, essentially, so I'm happy to go through them. Gumtree, Instagram, the only thing I'm scared about that is with Instagram. Facebook, it's the person's name. So if a sale goes bad, it's their reputation. It's really easy to tag them and just go, I had a horrible experience with this person. Instagram, because it's all pseudonyms and anonymity, I know Ben's spoken many times about his great experiences with it, but
not so much on the buying side, but I know my wife won a competition from a company in Sydney, and it was quite a big prize, and about 2 days after she won and had contacted, and they said, yeah, we'll send it out, the Instagram was just gone. And that was it. And it's like, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I'm very skeptical as well, because what if it was something you'd bought 2 days earlier and then suddenly it's
and like, they just disappear.
Maybe we could all make money that way, guys. We'll talk off air.
The new business model. Like everyone said, eBay's been one. The SA Toy Collectors Community's another. But, you know, going to markets, fairs, Facebook. I guess my attitude is a lot like Davey's. Whatever puts a toy in your hand, you know, can't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, always looking for new opportunities as long as it's the right toy and that, you know, I'm all ears.
Mm. Just on that, and just in the, with the thing of brick and mortar stores, I was shopping at a little brick and mortar store. It used to be called Galaxy Toys for a lot of my Generation 1 Transformers back in the day. And honestly, I'd pick up a Generation 1 Transformer, let's say for argument's sake, Soundwave, right? And that'd be priced, let's say, $120 complete. And I know for a fact I could jump on eBay while I was walking around that store and get it for $20, $30 cheaper, shipped straight to my door. But it's sometimes exciting to look at the to see exactly
in hand
the condition of the toy. How is it 100% complete? You know, guaranteed it's in your hand, in your pocket as you walk out that door. You didn't have any expectations of it being there when you walked into the store, and you're walking out with. You've got it in your hand. You're not waiting. You haven't, bought it online, and you're not waiting a week for them to say, I'll post it after the weekend.
Yeah.
And, or whatever. Or sorry, it's got, missed in shipping. Or it's
$10 more. Can you hit me?
You feel a bit more informed, don't you, when you see it in the flesh and that. Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way, whether it be vintage or whether it be new toys.
Yeah.
What's the condition of the card? What are the paint apps for something new? For something vintage, it's what condition is it complete? You know, you just feel a little bit more informed. Sometimes photos don't quite capture every detail as much as you'd like. So,
or the hidden aspect. If you've seen photos of the front of the figure, and then you get it, and the back of the figure's got a scratch on it, and you're like, damn, I didn't even know that.
You get it, and the shell's like caved in.
Yeah.
I had bought one thing online that was boxed, and I was going to keep it that way. And there was a few photos of the back and the front. Front was pristine, sides. There was a massive sticker of the business across the back corner of the box. Oh,
dodge.
And it was to the point where I feel after it had sold to me, he'd like, I'll take this off for him.
Yep.
Started and went, that's not coming. It already had the corner of test. And I was like,
nope, that's going to wreck it.
And so
that's a keeper.
That's something where if I was like minting box kind of guy I'd be really annoyed at.
Yeah.
And you avoid that in person. But I think, like you're saying, Ben, it's quite often when you buy something in store then and there, you walked in not knowing it was even there.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's a really awesome feeling. Whereas eBay, you go there and get what you're looking for.
Search the specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no impulse buying. Yeah. There's no thrill of, oh my goodness, you know, holy grail item example XYZ is here. Yeah. You know, how could...
I actually started buying on Gumtree to stop myself impulse buying and went the other way. I'm agreeing to meet people in the middle of the night up in a random suburb to pick up like a Ninja Turtle thing I've already got. Like, what have I done?
How did I get here?
Yeah.
Why are you naked?
There's no turtle figure here, is there? That's next. It was all a ruse to get me out.
I'm never coming to this drainage ditch ever again. You're getting a bad Yelp review, drainage ditch.
No, very good. Well, hopefully you've picked up a few tips on how to go about, you know, some new shopping techniques, some new Gumtree techniques that you can try. I like that one that Davey's got. That's obviously some engineering. The more phones you can get a hold on, the more low offers you can lowball at people before you come in with your...
Someone bids 50, someone bids 25 below, and someone bids 10 below. Someone wins.
Now, that is awesome. At this point, we're going to head over to the quiz.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Time to start thinking because the Quizmaster's back.
And this is a quiz that I believe Darren is down for, so I just wonder how he's been on the running sheet.
So, question number one, and I'll open it to my good friend Trent. But anyone can answer if Trent doesn't know.
Cheating.
Who was the first actor cast in the 1987 Masters of the Universe, the motion picture film?
I believe the first actor cast was Dolph Lundgren.
And that answer would be completely correct.
Oh, well done. Mm-hmm.
And next question's for you, Frank.
Uh-oh.
So, picture the 1966 Batman television series with Adam West.
Mm-hmm.
What was the distance between the Batcave and Gotham City? How many miles was the sign that they would pass?
Yeah, yeah.
Gotham City, X number of miles.
Can you give me a range?
Between some and a lot.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good range.
Zero and 100.
Well, yeah, it's definitely less than 100 and more than zero.
You're just giving him the answers.
Amazingly helpful. I'm going to go 31 miles.
I'm afraid that's incorrect. Would anyone else like to take a stab?
Is it lower?
Well, it is lower.
Because he can't fight crime in 31 miles. Surely by the time you get there.
The Batmobile can go pretty fast. It can cover a lot of ground quickly. Yeah. But yeah, no, it is lower than...
Six.
It's higher.
17.
25.
Trent was the closest. It's 14 miles.
I said that. You totally didn't hear that.
My hearing's going, man. What can I say? So that would put Ben in the hot seat.
Yep.
So, another Batman question. Tim Burton's Batman film, the 1989 original Batman film. Who was the character Jack Napier named after?
The Joker. I don't know. No, I'm not sure. I don't know that one. Sorry.
I'll give you a clue because it is a tough one. It is named after an actor from the Batman franchise who had been in a previous incarnation.
Oh, man. I'm clasping at straws here, sorry. My knowledge back then is not
right. Nothing wrong with having a guess if you feel that you want to.
Bob Napier.
So close in you, so tired.
Jake Napier.
Anyone want to... I'm happy to write another supplementary clue.
Yeah.
You're on the right track in that it's the last name, not the first name.
It must be. Is it back to the serials?
No.
No?
It sits in, and that's a really good clue. It sits in between the 1940s serials and the 1989 film. So think about what happened in between the two.
66?
Yeah.
Batman?
Yep, someone from that. Someone who...
This is impossible!
Nope. People happy for me to throw out the answer at this point?
Yeah, please do.
Alan Napier, who played Alfred Pennyworth in the Batman 66 television series and feature film, passed away in the very early stages of production of the 1989 film, and they legitimately named the Joker's secret identity or previous origin, you know, to the Joker after him.
I must commend you on your mislead to Ben. It's like, your favorite Batman film?
Yeah.
Very obscure question, not really about it. Well done.
That was awesome. You like that?
I like it. You like in trouble. I really like everything you do.
I like that style. So when we look at the next question, that would be yourself, David. So I'm going to throw you a question. Which company has recently announced that they are exploring Toxic Crusaders toys?
I'm going to sound terrible and say, is it Super 7 or something?
It is Super 7.
Yeah! Ben posted that on Facebook! Ding! So I get 50, yeah?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I think he's the only one.
That's right, because that was the toughest question. So so the next question is for... I'm going to open this one up to all of you, actually, because I think this is a fair question.
But let me answer first.
People at home, if you're not from Adelaide, this may not mean a lot to you, but the question is... The Academy Cinema in the city that no longer operates. Does anyone here happen to know what the highest grossing film ever shown at the Wallace Academy Cinema in the Adelaide CBD was?
Jurassic Park, because I went and saw it there.
That was how much did you pay?
Two actually, but I know that that's not the film.
Right, highest grossing. Can I have a year range?
First letter.
First
number of the year.
I will give you a year range. Ben's not that far off in years. We are talking the 1990s.
Alright, okay. You're in trouble now.
Have we talked about it as a toy in our spotlight just before?
Titanic?
No, it wasn't Titanic.
Is what I would have said if I was answering it wrong. Can't cut me off when I'm just talking and not answering. I don't know.
It has ties to
toys
okay. And it's something that and I'm probably going to give it away.
Is it
a something
story?
That we all have a strong attachment to, I would say.
Is it
pornography?
Is it sitting on the shelf behind you?
I didn't know you had any films behind us, but you're getting
the first
warm.
Ninja
you're
Turtles
getting pretty
movie.
Warm.
Is it Toy Story?
It's not Toy Story.
Okay.
Is it Ninja Turtles' first film?
It is the 1990s.
Is that right?
Teenage Ninja
Where
Turtles
were you,
film.
Frank? Where were you?
And damn it, you're doing really
well. See, I said, is it represent on the shelf behind you? And you look back, there's dead set eight shelves of Ninja Turtles behind him, and he goes,
the film.
"Nope."
I could not see the film.
Nah, this is how a quiz master should be. Here's the question back.
I was looking, Frank, when you said that, I was looking for a DVD or a Blu-ray. I couldn't see it. The closest I could see was the.
You're wearing Frank's cosplaying Turtles costume right now. Is there any turtles in here? No.
I'm looking for the film.
Is it ceiling fan?
But yeah, no.
Next question worth 2 points so you can catch up to the master.
So the next question is, we've talked about we've talked a lot about in the past things like Master Universe Classics and at the length of time that line's ran. In fact, I can remember what one of our podcasters saying what line runs that long. Can anyone think of a line that's ran longer?
Longer than what?
Master Universe Classics.
DC Universe?
Lego?
I guess you could say DC Universe has had a number of name changes, but I guess if you clumped it all together, but Lego, if you call that a toy line, would you call that a toy? I said if you would call it. I'm not sure you would. If, it was a
if you're talking about kids' toys,
I'm thinking of something comic book based.
Something that's gone longer than classics.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you called it all one line.
If you call that a line.
But
if you want to be handed points.
Yeah, but isn't that just like 30 different lines? But
yeah, that could be right if it was.
I was thinking more along the lines of something like Marvel Legends.
Marvel Legends?
that was where I was.
But they've called it the same thing, but it had a scale change.
That's true.
And I reckon that breaks nothing more than a scale change, because you can be fancy with names and
I wouldn't consider the G.I. Joes that we grew up playing with in the same league as the Action Man-esque one.
That's true. Yeah, the non-existent ones. Good
I say that because I didn't answer it right, it's wrong.
I'm with you. Legitimate point of view. I stand corrected. You know, Trent's right. It's not the same line.
But no, they have. But to be fair, they have called it Marvel Legends all the way through. The same name. It's bizarre.
How long did G.I. Joe go for? G.I. Joe went from 82 to like 94 or something, didn't they?
I can check here my tomorrow's encyclopedia.
I reckon you write it to
ball in a cup.
I reckon you write it to you.
That's a fair.
My son won a ball in the cup at the show, so that's still a toy line that's going on. I win.
My good friend Leanne Hanna, good friend of Toy Power, would know about that because she's a huge G.I. Joe fan.
So that's 12 years or so. How long has this Marvel Legends gone for?
Still going.
Yeah.
Like,
trying to think when it came out. Early 2000s, I would have thought.
I keep forgetting 2017 years ago. I was like, oh, that's like 10 years old.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying, so G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. Yes. And I'm looking, this is not Google. I did not do this with Google. I've got a physical book here. 1982 to 94.
Yes.
There you go. 82
to 94. 82
to 94. 12 years.
Wow. So definitely longer than classics.
Yeah, definitely.
Very I'll take those good. Points good. Then if everyone's indifferent.
No, I think they go to Ben, don't they?
Yeah, he called G.I. Joe.
Yep.
But I reckon
I'll give him to Davey, otherwise he's going to threaten to punch me. So.
Don't need to. If you do the maths, I'm still winning.
I reckon you might be. Just to clarify, Marvel Legends 2002.
2002, yeah. Right. Yep.
There you go. Cool.
I had Dan 2003, but do we have time for one more question?
How much do you want me to win by?
So the last question.
This question
double
is
or
worth,
nothing.
Worth to negative, on, negative
to go
five
down
points.
To go down undefeated.
So the last question will be. Something.
Stop looking around the room. What colour is
lamp? Yeah, what, I spoke by the line. No, so I reckon we talked before about Super Mario Brothers and what was the second video game, the one that came out right after that?
Double Dragon.
Video game movie.
Mortal Kombat?
You'd be better.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, oh yes, you're right.
Right, Street you're Fighter. Right, Street I was going to throw the call in, but no clue if no one got it.
Street Fighter the movie, technically. So.
Yeah.
I'll take those.
I'm sorry, we've got to pay that. You're going to have to split your point between you.
Undefeated, ding.
Thanks. It was a movie that it took. They for whatever reason, I know Guile is an American character, but it took Ken and Ryu And made them almost the comedic slapstick characters. Yeah. I found that so offensive as a fan.
And I didn't like how the scientist turned into Dowsing.
The entire film led up to the freeze frame at the end where they're all in costume. That was the whole payoff.
That was where it was bad. Yeah.
The cameraman. Oh, I'm a sumo too. I'm in Honda.
I'm a big fan of Chun-Li, and instead it revolved around Cammy, and I thought
unfortunately that was Minogue star power.
Yeah, exactly. I get it.
I think you're right.
But from a gaming point of view, you know, you've got the solid ace. Yeah. Cammy didn't come into it.
Super.
So, anyway, that's... Yeah, for another podcast, I think.
That is. It's a worthy topic, though. Mm.
Very good.
Well done, gentlemen. You're all geniuses.
Well, and Darren just pulled that. That's why I was just sort of wondering if he actually had a quiz, because he just pulled that out of his head like he does with most things. So very impressive,
Darren. Yeah, I was a little underprepared on the quiz. My apologies, gentlemen. But,
did well.
A little bit of trivia. The Adam West Batman Gotham City distance, 14 miles.
Isn't that what we said?
Yeah, 14 miles. How far do you reckon...
What's miles in a K?
How far do you...
Out of suburbs?
How far do you reckon Adelaide and Salisbury Downs are from each other?
20 Ks?
14 miles.
20 miles. Yeah, 20 Ks. Yeah,
yeah, there you go. So Batman and I live the same distance away from their city.
How cool is that?
Coming to you on the Bat Train.
Pretty much.
You're lucky Salisbury Highway's blocked, Joker. All these damn roadworks.
I saw my protector, a social work guardian, just hanging out on the highway.
You can wear a cape any day you want.
I do that during my night shifts at work.
All right.
I've been trying to wrap this episode up for about 5 minutes, but we just might have to fade it out. So look,
fade to black.
play the speech music.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Toy Power. Davey, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your infinite movie and toy knowledge with us.
I'd love to come back and make it 3-0, guys. Whoa. If I'm welcome. So,
Patrick.
Or I'll do the quiz. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. We need to make it a trilogy.
Somehow you'll still win, I get the feeling.
Just on that, Davey, can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, what you do, and where they can find your... antics.
My two main avenues are, if you head over to YouTube, look up Davey Damage, sort of a show on toy collecting. It's been a bit stale for a bit, but that's Frank's fault. And I also do a weekly live radio show all about movies called Dave's Video Graveyard, because I'm too insecure to do anything without my name on it, as you know, with tonight's Dave's Toy Power podcast. And you can check that out at wowfm.org Sunday night. Well, it's Monday nights, in fact. Monday between 8 and 10, and it streams worldwide. So check it out.
Cool.
Brilliant. See you guys around. Till next time.
Ding.
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/Toy Power Podcast. At Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. Or have your say and email us, toypowerpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.
We are a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. Check out all the awesome shows on this awesome network full of okay people. Want to learn more? Go to GiantSizeTeamUp.com, where you can find us and a whole lot more awesome shows. Well, they're not more awesome than us, but...